my kid, so
do keep praying for those that we prayed for this morning, because do you know, we want to see God's full work. Sometimes we see bits, and he loves it when we keep on praying, because somehow or other, it not only means that he can answer our prayers, but it also gets us closer to him. So please do keep on praying, and I believe we're going to see some major miracles. It's brilliant that Stacey's back on the maternity ward this morning. Wow, that is fantastic news. So it's good that Brenda, Hemmer's mum, they've managed to get all the cancer out, which is really, really good. Okay, well, if you've got your Bibles, please would you turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And this is just an introduction to the Transformed Life series that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. I came to the conclusion previously when we tried to do series as a church, to try and get everyone on the same page at the same time is almost impossible. So I'm not even going to worry, all right? So some of you I know are doing it every 2 weeks, some of you are doing it every week, some of you haven't done one yet. So this is just the introduction. And then next week I'm going to look at the first couple of verses in Ephesians. But this introduction is really important because it paints the background of what we're doing. And can I encourage you, if you're able to, if you haven't already got one, that's the devotional book that goes with it. We've got those available today. We've still got a few left. They're £5 each, but they're brilliant because there's 50 days worth of really good devotional thoughts there that help us grow over these next couple of months. And if you haven't already done it, could I encourage you to read Ephesians through from beginning to end? And if you're not very good at reading out loud, if you've got a computer, if you go onto Bible Gateway, what's his name? Is it Richard Suchet?
David
Shusey, read Ephesians right the way through from beginning to end. You can sit and listen to it with that cup of tea or whatever you've got in your hand and really enjoy it. So I would encourage you to do that, because it was a letter that was intended to be read all in one go, because it was addressed to the churches and someone would stand at the front and read it all out. Maybe we ought to do that. No, we won't do that. We'll do it in bits, all right? But maybe you do that so that you get an idea of it. I'm just going to read the first 10 verses this morning just to get a flavour of where we're going with Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves, that's Jesus. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. May God bless his word to us today. Well, as I say, welcome to this brand new study, and the title is The Transformed Life. Why are we calling this study The Transformed Life? Well, it's because that is the picture that we find outlined in the first three chapters of Ephesians. It's wonderful, actually, what God has done. And it's even more wonderful when we, his people, catch hold of what he's done and what it really means. Because you see, it is a transformation that God wants to bring about in our life. Transformation not only of the of how we are as people, but also of our circumstances, also of our future, also about everything who we are, and everything about how we live our life, our purpose, and so on. And over the next 8 weeks, we're going to focus on three really important questions. And these three life questions are: who am I? Where do I fit in? And what am I living for? And if you like, they cover the three really essential things that people search for in their life. That's their identity, their belonging. Where do I belong? Where do I fit in? And what is my purpose? And you know, when you start out as a child, you sort of you start questioning, don't you? You get to about 9 or 10, maybe you started earlier, but you start saying, well, actually, why am I here? What's my purpose? What am I going to do for a job? What am I going to do in my future? Where do I belong? You know, what am I going to have a family? Am I going to be part of this community or that community? My identity. Actually, what am I? How do I behave? How do I respond? You know, because you get to know yourself, don't you, as you're growing up as well. And the truth is, we really need to be clear about these issues, because if we're not, we can be a bit like the story of the ugly duckling. Do you remember the story of the ugly duckling? Yeah? Well, those who don't, the story is based on a fairy tale by Hans Christian Andersen, which tells of a young bird who was born into a family of ducks. But the trouble was, he was abused and rejected by the other ducks because he didn't look like them. They were all yellow and he was all drowdy grey. He didn't fit in with the rest of the ducklings, and consequently it felt like he was an outcast for the family. And he did. He actually eventually left the family of ducks and he wandered around trying to find a place of acceptance and belonging, and ended up spending a miserable winter alone. But when the first spring came, a family of swans descended onto the thawing lake. And as a last resort to find a place of acceptance, the ugly duckling went to the swans and was shocked to find that they accepted him. And it was only when he looked in his reflection that he realized he wasn't an ugly duckling. Because over the winter, he'd grown up to be who he was supposed to be, a majestic swan. We can be a bit like that if we don't understand our identity, where we belong, and our purpose. We can be like that ugly duckling, confused about our identity, struggling to fit in, not knowing our life purpose, and as a result, we can define ourselves by how other people react to us. So if that ugly duckling had defined himself based on the reaction of all the other ducklings around him, he would have believed he was ugly, he was a reject, he was a failure, he didn't fit in anywhere. When the truth was, he just didn't realize who he really was. And when he discovered that actually he was intended to be the swan, fully majestic, living as a swan, then he discovered actually he wasn't ugly at all, he was beautiful. And that's what God wants us to understand, is that in our lives we really need to know who we were designed for. We can get caught in what's called the comparison trap. Have you ever heard of this? So where everyone's climbing up the ladder and they're looking at each other and saying, well, am I better than you? Are you better than me? And looking at others seems to be a way that somehow or other we work out who we are. And, you know, success, popularity and all that sort of thing, really that goes on every day. It's gone on for centuries. The swan wasn't bright and colourful when he was a duckling like the other ducklings. But when his true plumage was revealed, his beauty in white far exceeded theirs. And if you don't know who you were designed to be, that's what this study is about. This looking at Ephesians. Because in here we discover that actually the picture that we have of ourselves, that we've picked up ever since we were children, unless we've heard what God's word has said, is going to be a wrong picture of yourself. Because you see, I don't know whether you all realise that over the years we pick up lots of little subliminal messages. And sometimes, okay, we might have wonderful parents who actually feed really positive messages into us. And then we get a better picture. But it's not the true picture. The true picture is that God has made us to be a special part of his creation. And we're going to have a look at that. And today it goes on just the same. People judge themselves by how many friends they got on Facebook, how many followers they got on Twitter, or how many likes they have on Instagram. But they are not really a true picture of who we are and what we are worth. Other times people get confused by defining self-worth by the term net worth, or how much money they've got. I was interested to read about Boris Becker, who was talking about his life, and he was saying that when he got to the end of his life, I've got a quote that I'm going to give later on, which tells us that actually, even when you are very, very successful, unless you understand who you really are, you are still on a search, because at the top of the ladder, this comparison ladder, you find there's nothing there. The first thing I want you to pick up from our looking at Scripture and in Ephesians, I want to just look at this verse in Genesis chapter 1, because if you know at the beginning of Genesis, it tells us how God created things. And so I want us just to read this. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Okay, that's the introduction to the Bible. And one of the things that we pick up immediately there is actually we are marvellously made. If you're listening to the messages currently coming out from our society, they will tell us we evolved, not that we were made. We need to get this straight. We were made. He may have done it through creation, but God made us. Secondly, it's by God. It's not by chance. I don't know whether you saw the program on the moon this week. Anyone see it? They did one on the sun a little while ago in the same way. Isn't it, if you've listened to it, one of the amazing things is they say the moon is just the right distance away from the earth, just the right orbit, and so is the sun, just the right distance, just the right orbit for life to exist. If it wasn't just right, it wouldn't exist. We wouldn't exist. And the truth is that the billions and trillions to one chance that this ever happened, you need to understand it is not chance. We read at the right at the beginning of Genesis that God put the moon in place, God put the sun in place, God put the stars in place, God created the earth, God created the water, God made us. There is a plan behind it. And as when I learned at college, you don't pick up a wonderfully produced watch off the ground and say, oh, this just happened to all come about by accident. When you see how wonderfully things are made, you realise it could not have happened by accident. God made us. He made us in his image. Again, the message that's coming out today is that we're made in the image almost of an ape. You know, that we're descended from apes rather than from anything. We need to pick this up, that God made us in his image. And there's a thing there of holiness. There's a thing there of cleanness. There's a thing there of beauty. That's how God is. And we need to understand that. Now, if you're understanding why do we need to understand that, and you're going to come across this several times in this study, we've had all these messages dripping into our lives for however old you are. And me, I'm 63 years old this year. And I've had all these messages coming into my life. It takes a long time for us to picture and form a picture of who we are, that subliminal message coming in. It takes also a long time for that message of who we really are to get into us. When we hear it once, it goes in here, and if we're lucky, we remember it. But we need to hear it multiple times for it to go from here to somewhere else. You see, that understanding of who we are needs to be not only in our brain as a piece of information, it needs to be here in our heart as a piece of understanding. And it needs to be somewhere else too. It needs to be in our spirit so that we actually start to live based on this information. So we're going to be looking at some of those things. The other thing that it says here, again, the message that's coming up today about our genders. God created us male and female. Now our world is busily mixing all that up, but that's not how God intended it to be. And it's not a case, there's no blame attached to anyone at all about what's going on, but what there is we need to understand is there is a pattern that God made. And also that it goes on to say that God blessed them. The purpose, if you like, of our lives was that God would bless us, that we would be blessed by Him in a relationship with Him, and that we would then go out into our purpose, which is to be fruitful. So that's a very quick run through of, if you like, Genesis chapter 1. But I want you to understand that this picture is one of a marvelous creation. It's not a haphazard throwing together of bits that just happen to stick together. This is a marvelous creation. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you talk to any of our scientists, my nephew is a scientist in his own right. He deals with microbiology. He came to Christ when he was a child. He wandered away from Christ when he was just sort of sorting all this stuff out. And he's come back to Christ. And the reason he's come back to Christ was when he started looking at how we are made and how we function. He said, we are incredible. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We need to understand that identity. We need to understand that place where we fit. And we need to understand our purpose too. And so if it's the case that we are wonderfully made with a glorious identity, we need to explore that, don't we? Because, you know, we bought ourselves a new car the other day, a few weeks ago, because my old one broke down. And the one thing when I got into it, I realized I didn't know how half of it worked. And Jeanette said, get the instruction book out. Okay, so the man thing, you know, last thing you want to do is get the instruction book out. I got the instruction book out, and guess what? When I got the instruction book out, it was easy. Press this, do this. Oh yes, there's the clock set, there's the radio set. It was easy when I went to the maker's instructions. That's what we're going to do here. So we are marvelously made. But there's a second truth too that we need to pick up, and that is that we're also fatally flawed. I'm going to whip on to the next stage on our notes here. We're marvellously made, but we're also fatally flawed. Imagine, if you like, I had in my hand here an iPad. I'm not going to do it because, I've got an iPad at home that is a good example. Imagine I got an iPad in my hand here, and I dropped it on the floor. And if you've ever had equipment where you've dropped it, particularly computer equipment, sometimes they go terribly wrong. In fact, my iPad at home has been doing an update on its operating system for the last year and a half. I think it's gone fatally wrong. So you can understand that equipment, marvellously made, can be fatally flawed. There can be a problem with it that we need to sort out. Well, the worst has happened with humanity. And unfortunately, because we've grown up with it, it's our environment. We've come like the frog in the saucepan of hot water that gradually gets hotter. We've just grown acclimatized to it. We don't know any different. But the fact of the matter is we are fatally flawed. You see, what happened was back in the very beginning, when we'd kicked off this life, as Genesis tells us, we somehow or other started to walk away from God. And the description of the choosing to eat of the apple is a description of the fact that we, as a human race, have walked away from God and His ways. And in fact, we've walked so far that naturally we are cut off from God. Scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That includes me. And Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says it even better. It says this. It says, this sin has made us utterly incapable of living the glorious lives that God wills for us. Do you get the picture? We're marvellously made, but actually, like my iPad that's just fatally flawed, somehow or other we're unable to do what we're supposed to be like. And so all of us, you, me, everyone, are in that place of a bit of a mess. And whether we realise it or not. And we're like my iPad at home that sits there trying to do what it's supposed to do. But somehow or other it never gets to the point where the operating system loads and then it starts to work as properly as a computer. That serious dysfunction is where we're at. And it's lovely that God wanted to tell us that actually we're created for far more than what we're currently living with. You know, there's the old saying, we eat, we drink, we die. There's a sort of living that we do all the things of life, and then what do we end up with? We end up with a death at the end of it, which seems to make everything a bit of a waste of time. Hence why people used to say, live, drink today, for tomorrow we die. And we don't want to do that, do we? If we look honestly at our lives, all of us want to live a life that we say, this is brilliant. And that's what God wants for us too. So, we're marvellously made. We're also fatally flawed. But there's a third thing that we're going to pick up on the next few days. And that is, we can be totally transformed. That ugly duckling, when it became the swan, would it go back to being the ugly duckling? Never. Because when it realised what its life was supposed to be, suddenly it became something amazing. And if you wonder, if you're not a Christian today, and you're wondering why all these Christians keep bothering you about becoming a Christian, do you know why the reason is? Because they've discovered what it is to be the swan, and they don't want to go back. And not only that, but they see these, excuse me using the expression, people walking around like ugly ducklings who are thinking, where do I fit? Where do I belong? Why doesn't this life work? And all these Christians keep coming along going, hi, you need to know about, you're a swan. God wants you to be a swan, not an ugly duckling. And if we bother you, it's because we know the difference between the two. And it's so fantastic, be honest with you, what God has got in store for you as well as each one of us, that we can be transformed. Life can not only make sense, but it can be incredible. There's a lovely verse in Colossians 2, and I haven't got this on my notes, we're just going to finish now. And that verse in chapter 1 verse 15 says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Lots of people have said, well, okay, so you tell me about God, you tell me about how wonderful my life should be, but if I can't see God...